Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In the name of the God of all grace, in this week of Septuagesima, according to the historic calendar of the Christian Church, we celebrate the concept of salvation by the grace of God alone. The words which we read from the epistle to the Ephesians give us one of the most precious and clear expressions in all of Scripture, which sets forth the grace alone principle. Many of you have no doubt known these words from memory for many, many years, maybe for almost as long as you can remember. By grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The second chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians contains many of the foundational concepts of the Christian faith. It's like a vocabulary builder. It's like a primer for the essentials of the faith. In this chapter, we find expressions like the mercy of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the kindness of God, all these things being appropriated by faith, which is itself the gift of God. Here are the concepts which stand at the core of the Christian confession. Let us focus for a moment on this concept of the grace of God, that favor or love which God shows to the undeserving. He is under no obligation to do so other than that obligation which he finds within himself. Much clarity can be brought to the study of religion by finding the biblical answers to two clear and simple questions. Question number one, what is the location of our most basic problem? And question number two, what is the location of the saving grace which provides salvation from our problem? Every human answer, every answer that human beings, apart from God's revelation, have come up with ends up being a variation on this theme. The problem is out there somewhere. It's outside of me. It's outside of at least what is really the core of my being. And the solution is in here somewhere. In here, either in my willpower or in my intellect or in my essentially good heart or some combination or blending of these things. While Ephesians chapter 2 provides clear answers, which are the very negation of all human-generated answers, it says, we are dead in sin. We were among the children of wrath. We were included in the rebellious and alienated human race. What is the location of our problem? It's in us. And where are we directed to find redemption? To the grace of God. And that's not a quality in us. That is the favor of God which he shows to the undeserving. It becomes clear and manifest in the incarnation of the Son of God and in all that he has done by his life, death, and resurrection to provide us with redemption. These things are set in contrast to everything which is of ourselves, from within us, our own works, what we do, the things on account of which we might boast or claim privilege or merit or any idea that God owes us a favor. St. Paul liked to make use of what I like to call mathematics for theologians. arithmetic for those who experience anxiety at the mere thought of a number. Have you heard of college courses with titles like these? Chemistry for poets, physics for the hopelessly impractical. Well, that's what I kind of mean by mathematics for theologians. When it comes to answering the question, how are we rescued from our condition in sin under the wrath of God, cursed by the law, condemned to death, there are two, and only two, possibilities which we can theoretically consider. It's either of ourselves and our own doing, or it's of God. It's of His doing. Now, what does the metaphor of the spiritual corpse, which St. Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 2, what does that metaphor, you were dead in trespasses and sins, what does that teach us? Well, I'm concluding that it rules out one of the theoretical possibilities. The Word of God here takes away, it subtracts, it removes the possibility that it is of ourselves and of our doing that we are saved and have faith. Well, then, let's see. What does that leave us with? Well, it's called the grace of God. Our salvation from beginning to end is from Him. It's His doing. The Son of God won it for us. He gives it to us in the means of grace which He established, and He gives us the gift of faith, which enables us to claim it as our own. The Scriptures define our human condition as a condition of helplessness and hopelessness. This must be believed, as Dr. Luther says, because of the revelation of Scripture. Our reason cannot understand it. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And then the Scriptures present to us the grace of God for our salvation. God expressed His grace to the fallen human race in the giving of His Son for our redemption. And what He won for us once and for all, He gives us continually, all the days of our lives, through His gospel, the declaration of the forgiveness of sins. And in that gospel, He shows us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Jesus Christ, His Son. The ability to reach out and grab hold of all of this by faith is likewise the gift of God, created by His Spirit. Blessed are you in that grace of God and in the faith which grasps it. Amen. We have a request for a prayer today on behalf of student Paige Green, who is scheduled to undergo a process of medical testing beginning today for symptoms that she has been experiencing. Let us all pray. Lord of all grace and compassion, look in mercy on your child for whom we pray. You have provided for her a perfect redemption, and you have made her your child through your gospel, in word and sacrament. And now let your peace keep her heart and mind as she passes through the many uncertainties of life. Let the everlasting arms of your grace uphold her now and always, and in accordance with your good and gracious will, give her the gift of health that she may serve you in your kingdom all the days of her life. Amen.